Get a load of these wrestling nerds.
You!
Together, they've completely wasted a huge portion of their lives watching, enjoying, analyzing, loving, and hating pro wrestling.
A lot of hating.
They're a couple of pro wrestling losers.
Why I oughta?
Wait. Lifers. Pro wrestling lifers. That's what they are. Here's JR and Moose with the Pro Wrestling Lifers Podcast.
Hey, it's been a while.
Welcome back, Moose. Let's hear it. Welcome back.
Welcome back to me.
Dude, I was lost without you.
Why didn't you do the podcast without me?
I couldn't figure out how to do all the buttons.
That's all right.
It's a lot to it.
Not really, but, you know, still had a good time while I was gone. Traveled to Jamaica, had fun.
Dude, what about that?
But it was off of work.
I thought you'd come back with a little bit more of a thicker accent than you have.
No, actually, the patois that they speak is really hard to understand.
Yeah.
Because it's a mixture of gibberish.
Okay.
It's a mixture of, there's like another couple of languages in there, plus English.
Ah.
So it's like lazy talk.
So please tell me at some point you stood out on the beach,
looked
at the water while the sun was coming down.
I did that.
And you said, I think there's some trouble in paradise.
I didn't say that.
Come on.
Not once, because there was no trouble in paradise.
Not any trouble?
No, and nobody has ever heard of Kofi Kingston over there.
What? BS.
I don't know if he's from Jamaica, actually.
He's got to be.
No, it's. I didn't mean to say the lazy language. It was more. It's more like shorthand language.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
I didn't want anybody to take offense to that. But
no,
it's.
We're not afraid to offend people on this show.
There's quite well when it comes to wrestling fans. I'll go to the mat, so to speak, with my opinions, and I know you will too.
Yeah.
Over the week, we missed a couple of, you know, well, actually, we didn't miss, but let's see. We went through a couple of episodes of Raw so far. We had a bunch of King of the Ring tournaments.
Yeah, unpredictable stuff.
Yeah, we talked about it. Our last podcast, if you didn't check it out, it's available right where you find this one. You know, we predicted a couple of weeks out of what we thought the King of the Ring tournament would be. Both of us, I believe, have ended up with one person still in the tournament from all those matches.
That's how unpredictable this has been. And it's got you on the edge of your seat while you're watching, and you're kind of like, didn't see that coming either.
Yeah, we really need to unravel that, because it's, you know, unlike other King of the Rings, and I went back on the WWE Network and watched a few of the King of the Ring main matches.
Okay.
They're so lame compared to...
What?
No. The old matches of when they won the belts, like the Stone Cold match... It wasn't that great of a match, you know what I mean? It was at least on a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But there were some of these that were on, like, Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
And they were just like, oh, yeah, he's a king. Like, Owen Hart. Very, very low-played, like, victory, like, but he made the King of the Ring, you know?
Did he ever?
I'm the King of Hearts!
Yeah.
You know?
So good.
So he made it, even though the hype, the build, the lure of it wasn't there. Even with the lineup that we saw, there were some names that were kind of questionable.
Who's your favorite all-time King of the Ring?
Favorite all-time King of the Ring has got to be the late, great King Harley Race.
Yeah, I got to say Bret Hart.
I think Bret was good, but Harley Race just didn't really look the part. But he had the when he'd open up his robe and hold his arms
God.
Out, it was so like, this guy in his mind is just totally living this character.
Yep.
And he also had help from the late, great Bobby Heenan.
Dude.
So, you know, with that combination of him just being, I mean, Harley Race is the old school kind of wrestler where if he laid an elbow into you, you were done.
Oh, dude.
Because it was like, that was a devastating move back then.
He was
then.
A tough SOB, that's for sure.
So, I mean, that's got to be mine. Yours?
Bret Hart.
It's got to be Bret Hart?
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but these last couple years, I've really come into this thing about, golly, was Bret so freaking good.
I think Bret Hart was probably, I think his name and his slogan, so to speak, the best there was, the best there is, the best there ever will be, I butchered that. But I think that really holds true, and he was one of the best.
Guy could have a great match with anybody, and I think if anybody deserved to be the King of the Ring, like the master of their domain, it was him. I mean, he proved it all the time.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible.
He got great matches out of Diesel.
The worst, that's a tough thing. The worst King of the Ring.
Oh, that's a tough one. I'll say Sheamus.
You know, and I kind of look at that as, I think Sheamus...
It was silly.
No, it wasn't silly. I think Sheamus run as King of the Ring was probably not quite his fault.
Yeah.
It fit. I mean, you're seeing a couple of these guys putting on the crown as we're getting closer to the end of this King of the Ring.
You're like, I could kind of maybe.
Totally see this. Yeah. I mean, Elias, he looks really good with the King crown on. So does Corbin.
Yeah.
Corbin really,
he wants the ring.
Yeah, for sure. But I think Sheamus got kind of hosed with WWE kind of disbanding, or not disbanding, but I think he was one of the last ones, wasn't
he? Yeah, and if you think that, I don't know, he won King of the Ring, he won Money in the Bank, he won Royal Rumble, he's been the heavyweight champion, the Intercontinental champion, a tag team champion. It's holy smokes, is there anything this guy hasn't done?
And we miss Sheamus on TV.
Yeah, we kind of do.
Drastically. And there's been rumors of his retirement, and now apparently he's cleared to wrestle. So you never know. He could come back at any time.
Well, you know,
Maybe on Wednesday nights.
Okay.
No, maybe not. I mean, if you said Sheamus is going to be there on TV, whether it was a Stone Cold type role like today or whatever.
He's been popping up quite a bit since the Raw reunion to pump up his new show.
Sure.
And I think it's cool, man.
I think he's. I think I've watched several of his Celtic Warrior workouts. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Very cool. I don't care who
I'm talking about Steve Austin here.
I don't care about Steve Austin.
Come on.
I'm done with Steve Austin.
Come on.
Stone Cold is over.
Stop it. Never.
I mean, it's so over. Everybody loves it.
Oh, okay. I see where you're going. I get it. Okay.
We should, before we get to jibber-jabbing about all kinds of things, we got King of the Ring to talk about. We've got some episodes of Raw and SmackDown.
And we have the biggest story in WWE right now to get to.
And I cannot wait to talk to you about this because I know this is your girl.
Yeah.
And I know exactly what you're talking about because
you think you know.
This is the biggest thing. And I almost texted you when I finally found out. But when I finally found out this action, it was like 11:30 at night, and I was like, you know what? He might still be up, but I need to go to bed.
Yeah, so. I was still wrapping up the show.
That's how old I am. At 11:30, I'm like, whoa, what am I doing? I mean, 9:30, that's it.
Some trouble in paradise.
All right, we should jump into the news.
You want to hit it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go. My first piece of In the News, Moose, has to do with a man that I actually saw, not this past weekend, I think the one before, at the Nashville Fairgrounds.
Hey, how'd that go?
I went and saw Ring of Honor.
Right.
And I immediately pulled up to the old asylum, because I figured, I was like, damn, nobody's here. This is going to be a pretty grave show.
Right.
And it turns out the building isn't open for operation. They have these new ones that are almost, you can literally put like an airplane in there.
Wow.
That's how big they are. They have all these new different lots, right?
Yeah, and they're redoing basically the whole Nashville Fairgrounds being redone because we're getting a new soccer stadium.
Yeah, they're doing it piece by piece.
Nobody cares about soccer, but anyway.
I don't know. I don't get that. But
so the asylum is officially closed.
Yeah, officially closed. And so my buddy Michael comes over, gets me. He's like, no, dude, it's over here. So I go over there to the show and walked right in. The show had just began.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was kind of cool. Marty was there, who was actually the...
Your news piece.
Yeah, my news piece here. So
was he in the main event?
Yeah, he was. Yep. And let's see. There wasn't many other people that I really recognized, but some people definitely left a impression. Like, it was a good show. I enjoyed it. So Marty Scurll, his deal with Ring of Honor is rumored to be up in November. Now, the obvious speculation here, right, is he'll depart and finally join up with his friends in AEW because he is a former member of the Bullet Club and current leader of the Villain Club.
The Villain Club?
Yeah.
How'd they come up with that?
I wanted to buy his t-shirt, but it was $30.
$30 is what? Is it a 26-year limit or something? Or what's what does it mean?
If it were Bailey, I would have bought it.
If it was $70 and it was Bailey, you would have bought it.
I wouldn't have ate that week, but I would have got it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that Nickelodeon University shirt you have on now was $30.
No, this was $8, TJ Maxx, bro.
Look at you now.
See? I'm a bargain shopper.
Five below.
Yeah, see? Exactly. But yeah, it was really cool seeing Marty there. And he's kind of just like the last of that whole crew.
Right.
You know, that they're going to stick together. And he decided to stay with Ring of Honor another year. I don't know if that was a strategic move or if that's just what he felt was right. And he's been battling with Nick Aldis for the NWA title. He's part of in Ring of Honor, they have like the triple tag team champions.
Right.
So he has that going with his own crew too. But yeah, I think it's about time for him to make the jump.
Yeah, when his contract's AEW. Up, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he shows up on TV as a shocker kind of thing. You know, I mean, by that time, they're going to be a month into their TV tapings there for TNT.
Or,
are they going to be live? Or are they going to be?
No, I think it's live.
Okay.
And also, I mean, is it super far-fetched to think maybe Marty shows up on SmackDown?
I don't think it's too far-fetched. I don't think that's going to happen, though. I mean, everybody that's in that...
I don't think he would really fit
everybody
in the
that's
WWE
in that
mold.
Realm, you know, has pretty much stayed in their realm since, you know...
Yeah.
Since the All In first happened.
Yeah.
You know, everybody that was in there has kind of been rumored to come. Kenny's been rumored to come.
Yeah.
Just hasn't happened.
Well, I mean, only time will tell, but yeah, I think that makes the most sense for Mr. Marty, the leader of the Villain Club.
Faux show.
My next piece of In the News, Moose, we're actually going to stay over on the side of All Elite Wrestling.
Yeah.
And this has to do with their world champion, who actually won the title last Saturday night.
Does this have anything to do with hashtag a little bit of the bubbly?
A little bit of thievery took place here. Your AEW world champion, Chris Jericho, had his AEW world title stolen. So long story short, Y2J had the title with him in a bag, and then he jumped in a limo, and the limo driver was going to bring him to Longhorn, which I love it there, by the way. So good choice, Chris. And somewhere in the midst of all that, the title was stolen out of the limousine. So an official police report was filed. A police investigation took place, and I got an update just before I walked in here to jump on the air with you.
Yes.
The title has been found.
Apparently they found it. They posted a picture of it, and like 15 minutes later, it was deleted.
Huh.
So I don't know if AEW was like, oh, we can make a big angle out of this,
right.
But it's already out there.
Yep.
The title's been found. It was actually, you know, kind of a screw up with Chris Jericho himself and the limo driver and stuff. So, but did you see the, here's a picture of it right here. The announcement that Jericho did.
No.
From his palatial palace.
No, I didn't see that yet.
I don't know if I can get the audio so you can hear it. Here, let me see if I can get the audio up.
Hi. I'm AEW champion Chris Jericho. And unfortunately, less than 24 hours after I became the first
like
AEW
the one
champion with
little flower windmill in the background.
After one of the hardest matches I've ever had in my life.
That's a good match, by the way.
Yeah.
Scumbag committed grand larceny and robbed me of the AEW championship.
Now, as I
sit here in my palatial estate, in my beautiful mansion, getting ready to have a little bit of the bubbly.
Oh, I'm gosh.
Just imagining what I would do to that son of a bitch if he was here right now.
Whoa!
Yeah, so...
He'd probably catch him with that back elbow that he's been doing.
Hashtag... Oh, the Judas effect looked devastating. The hashtag little bit of the bubbly has been, like, blowing up all over Twitter and Instagram.
I believe it.
But, yeah, that's... I'm sorry. They always make something out of nothing, and that's what you... That's something you admire from all of those guys. They do such a good job of it.
Dude, it's Y2J.
But
see,
the one little windmill in the back. Little things that cost like 50 cents at the dollar store.
So my whole thing with this was, obviously this title cost an enormous amount of money to make, and just so many man hours went into it.
Right.
I was like, I doubt they have a backup readily available.
Right.
So fortunately, they don't need it because they got back the title.
Title's back, and the title's awesome. Too.
How cool is
probably
that belt look?
Probably one of the top five I've seen in a long time.
It looks good, man. It really does.
Yeah.
My next piece of In the News, Moose.
Yes.
And I'm pretty psyched about this because you know I'm a big Batista fan.
Batista
has finally landed on the Gears of War video game. And I guess he's been lobbying this for quite a while. He sent out a tweet earlier that said, "It's about damn time. Play as me in Gears of War 5 starting September 15th. After WWE Clash of Champions." Had to slide that little plug in right there.
Right.
But I don't know, man. I've never played Gears of War, but just the intrigue to be able to play as Batista.
Now, that's the other thing. Is Gears of War a Xbox thing or is it a PlayStation 4 thing?
I think it's an Xbox thing. I think it's just one of those like shoot 'em up kind of games.
Yeah, like Halo is totally only Xbox. I've never been an Xbox person, so I have no idea what Gears of War is.
Yeah.
But, you know, guess it's pretty cool to play as Batista.
Dude.
I mean, I enjoy it when I'm playing, you know, the WWE
yep.
TK games or 2K games. So
yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'll go out and spend the $60-$70 on the game.
And the $399 for the game console.
Golly.
But you have an Xbox, though.
I do.
Oh, see, yeah. You're an Xbox person. I'm absolutely a PlayStation 4 person.
Yeah, I jumped off the PlayStation bandwagon after PlayStation 2.
Stupid!
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 No, smart. Xbox reigns superior.
Never.
My final piece of In the News, Moose, is recently on the podcast, we talked about how I spent $60 on a luchador mask that wasn't Rey Mysterio. So I'd done this once before.
Right.
And that was for what I feel is the coolest lucha mask ever.
Which is?
That belonging to Sin Cara.
Really?
And it says that Sin Cara may be finally returning to WWE action. Sin Cara took to Twitter today and promoted a WWE live event that will happen in El Paso, Texas, on September 29th, and he had knee surgery back in mid-August of last year, and a brief feud with Andrade, which I kind of remember, but barely. He was cleared to compete back in March this year, and he actually returned in the 50-man Battle Royal at the Super Showdown in June, but that's the last time we've seen him on TV, and that's the last time we've seen him on the road.
Yeah, it would be good to get him back and get actually, like, maybe team him up with the, you know, what was it?
Lucha House Party,
Lucha
right?
Lucha House Party. Why am I dropping names? But I'm not dropping him. I'm forgetting him.
Yeah.
But the, you know, have him do something with that or maybe be, like, the antithesis of them.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be kind of cool, too.
He was supposed to be really cool. The original Sin Cara, that was supposed to be a huge
deal. The yellow light, though, man, I think that killed it.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
That's why I was so glad when they didn't do that. You know, we were speculating that kind of effect with, you know, Bray Wyatt
yeah.
and his new character, The Fiend. It's like, don't do that.
Well, if you remember when Sin Cara, the original one, actually debuted, they did all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had the trampoline jump into the ring and botched it, his
first
match
time,
live
yeah.
on. I'm just like, God, man, what a tough break. And
I knew it.
It just got worse and worse
I
from there.
I told you this was going to happen.
But I got to look through all my all my stuff, and I got to try to find that mask because it is awesome.
People in the background going, oh, no. Oh,
no. Oh, no. I told you. I told you. Yeah.
Well, get your mask out. You're going to need it again.
Yeah. That right there is going to conclude In the News.
Dun, dun, dun.
Do we have a cool outro for this yet?
No, we got to work on that.
All right.
We got to quit being lazy on this podcast.
Yeah, you're right. You got to show up once in a while.
I got to stay home once in a while and work. Hey, let's jump back into AEW because I wanted to talk to you about the All In. Was that it? Or is it All Out?
All Out.
All Out. I get them all confused. That happened over the weekend. I caught a little bit of it. I did catch at the very beginning the buy-in. The 21 Women Casino Battle Royal.
And that was actually on TNT.
That was. And the Private Party tag team match was also on TNT,
yeah.
which was cool to
They're
have.
They're a cool tag team.
Yeah, and not just that, but the 21 Women Casino Battle Royal, and they did it with the guys as well. I really like the concept of them using, you know, suits of cards. Here's
yeah.
the hearts, here's the clubs, here's the Joker.
It's interesting.
You know, and it really puts a different angle to it. It kind of pushes it faster.
Yeah.
The one thing with Royal Rumbles, so to speak, is they're a little slow.
It can seem that way, but you're really
waiting. When you dump everybody out of the ring and you're waiting on the next person,
yeah.
you don't really always want to have that, and
right.
it happens a lot because you have 30 people. But they push this to make it faster.
But again, that's why this is a Battle Royal, not a Royal Rumble.
Still, it has the same effect.
So, I mean, it's still
everybody
over
gets
the top.
Thrown over the top, and one person wins. A lot of controversy with this one, though, because of the winner. Apparently, there's some rumors backstage saying that she wasn't actually supposed to be the winner.
Riho, right?
I think Britt Baker was supposed to be the winner of this.
Oh, no. Riho wrestled in an actual match.
Nyla Rose was the actual
okay,
winner.
That's yeah. right. Yeah.
And apparently, she was supposed to be. But we saw some great.
What happened then?
I don't know. Those are rumors. Internet's 50-50. But the cool thing was to see Jazz back in the ring. ODB was back in the ring.
Yeah.
You know, and they really gave him good positions. The only problem was watching this, and I haven't really, and I thought about some of the things you said. Watching this pay-per-view and parts of it that I did watch, the camera angles missed everything.
Yeah.
They're really not up to speed with how to catch things. I mean, I'm thinking of SmackDown last night, watching the Elias and the Ali match. And they had the camera angle there perfectly for when Elias smashes Ali in the corner of the outside ring protective things.
Yep.
And it looked absolutely devastating.
Super good.
But you miss, like I mentioned, ODB. You missed her like getting thrown
eliminated,
out of the ring because somebody was coming in the ring.
Yeah, because, I mean, WWE TV is, you got to think, like this has been the same team for how many years? Like,
absolutely.
They're on it. They are the best in the world, and they know exactly what's going to happen, when it's going to happen. And it seems like AEW, kind of the charm of it, but kind of the downfall at the same time, is it's a free for all.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to happen, so you don't know what to prepare for to film.
It's kind of weird because watching
rather.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird watching it too because you feel like somebody's really going to get hurt.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh my gosh, these guys are really going to get hurt.
Yeah.
You know, and whether that's the authenticity of it or if it's the unknowing of these guys not really being B players, because I would never call them that. I mean, they're actually doing it, and they're all professionals, and they've all been at the top of their game.
There was a guy that jumped off the top rope with a Cracker Barrel strapped to his butt and landed on the steel steps, and I thought, that guy's dead.
Well, was that during the match with the extreme match or whatever?
Yeah,
that had the,
with Havoc.
Yeah, with Havoc, and it had the skateboard with the thumbtacks on
it
or whatever. Which, to me... What are you doing?
I don't know.
Even believable at this point. To me, it's kind of like, okay, you kind of jump the shark with the, you know, extreme matches.
Yeah.
Just keep it simple to where...
And you know who wasn't even on that show?
Who was not even
Moxley.
On? Well, Moxley's hurt, so... But to see Pac and Kenny Omega, great match.
Great match.
Probably the best one of the night.
Yeah, I thought those guys tore it down.
The Jericho match, of course. Man, I'll tell you what. That was something I was really thrilled to see because I hear so much about it. I haven't really seen a full-on match, and it wasn't the Young Bucks or anything like that because those guys put on a spectacular, basically.
I saw a Canadian destroyer from the top of a ladder through a table, and I thought there's no way anybody's walking away from this alive.
Well, and not just that, but the loop around the side of the ladder by the Luchadoras where he like sling-bladed him to the floor.
Right.
That was awesome. The run-up of the ladder in the corner, super, super cool.
And now there was also a big surprise during that show. I think it was the LAX from Impact.
Yes.
They didn't re-sign. They showed up on AEW under a new name, a new moniker or whatever.
Well, they showed up after the tag team match.
Yeah.
Lights went out. They showed up. So that's going
to... Put the boots to them.
But that just sets the tag team division off.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and you need that because that's your big focus coming into TV is they're going to be doing that tag team tournament and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so.
What I want to know is who is like writing all this stuff? Like how involved are the Bucks? How involved is Cody? Do they oversee? Are they actually in there in the like writing room? Like,
I think everybody has a part of all of it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've got three VPs, so to speak, you know.
It's a free-for-all, man.
I think so in some ways, but I think that I don't think it's scripted, so, and maybe that's why we're not getting the great angles to see certain things and stuff like that, because they don't script it out completely. They just, you know, hey, let's do this here, let's do this here. It's kind of old school wrestling.
Yeah.
They're not overthinking it in some ways.
Yeah, which, you know, and I've been very critical of them on our podcast before, but I gotta say, with this show, I think they got it right, man.
There was
a lot more to enjoy than to roll your eyes at.
Well, and they made it a spectacle because you know, Adam Page walking in with on the horseback,
dude,
so cool.
How cool was that?
You know, he talks about doing cowboy stuff,
yep,
so to speak. But I mean, and he himself was probably one of the coolest things I saw because everybody talks about, you know, the Bucks, and everybody talks about Cody, and I've seen Cody before, and I saw the Bucks, and yeah, the ladder match was spectacular. Absolutely spectacular.
It was a car wreck.
It was.
Yep.
But the match, you know, besides the Pac match with Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, Adam Page, hell of a match.
Hell of a match. Hell of a fight.
Yeah, and it was a wonderful story. It never got off, you know, the story never left. They did the story all the way through, and I think the right person won.
Yep.
I think Chris Jericho at the end of it, holding the belt with the scar, sunglasses in front of the private jet.
Yeah.
Dude, that guy is a star.
Absolutely.
And that's the guy you need leading this thing into TV. Adam Page, though, the Deadeye,
one
of my favorite moves.
Yeah. And he's going to just chase after that title now until he finally gets his hands on it.
What does he call it? The Buckshot Lariat or something like that, where he jumps off the rope?
And then boom.
Impressive every time because there's so much momentum. This guy's exciting to me.
Yeah.
I mean, he is really, really exciting. So
yeah.
I thought it was a nice inroad to where they're going. Hopefully the momentum like carries them into TV, which is still a month away.
It's going to be exciting.
And plus they got another pay-per-view in Chicago in November, I think.
Yeah.
So.
And also All Elite Wrestling, the All Out, wasn't the only wrestling show that took place that day. Because earlier in the afternoon, WWE NXT UK went live. And that happened here about 1:30. So I actually got to watch that show as well.
Wow.
It was like a weekend of, well, at least one day worth, but like a weekend of wrestling. Like, it was cool.
And the UK, you got to see Toni Storm, which is...
I did. Toni Storm lost the title.
What?
And the whole place went quiet.
Like, they couldn't believe it?
You could hear crickets. Everyone just had their hands on their heads, and they were just like, what?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it either. All of a sudden, I look up and it's over. I'm like, what the hell happened?
Yeah, I'd like to see her on the regular TV anyway.
That's what I'm saying, too.
Yeah.
I love her, man. She's a star.
Street Profits lost their belt not too long ago either with just NXT regular, I guess. You got UK and NXT regular. Yeah,
we don't know.
But then those guys are going to be in the tag division here pretty soon.
Yeah, so. And there was a last man standing match that took place, too. But I think the fans were really upset with the ending because the babyface in the match... So I can't even remember their names because I'm not super familiar with all these guys, but he goes to like, and this, the heel, he's built like Vader. He is just a destroyer.
Is that Walter?
No, it wasn't Walter. He was in the main event. But so he goes to like get up, right?
Right.
And the babyface kicks out this like these, it's like one of those, you carry all your gear in it and has wheels and stuff.
Right.
And he kicks that out so he can't get up. So it's like a heelish move, but he's supposed to be like the superhero babyface, and they did not like that ending at all.
Well, and that's, I'm trying to find it for you here. It was, let's see here. You had the women's match, Kylie Rae, who won.
Yeah.
Walter beat Tyler Bates.
And for that match right there was like a 50-minute marathon match.
The one you were talking about.
No, the Walter match.
Yeah. Joey Coffey and Dave Mastiff.
Mastiff, yeah. That guy is a scary freaking dude.
I don't know what he looks like. So.
And like, so get this, in the opening of the match, they're just brawling, right, in the ring. One of them gets thrown into the corner, chest first, and the whole turnbuckle comes undone.
Is that the dude you're talking about?
So what happens is he gets thrown into the turnbuckle, and he hits it, right? And you know when you hit it, you kind of hook your arms around it. It pulls the entire rod out of the ring post, and all the ropes fall down.
Oh, my God.
And the place just stands up and starts going crazy.
Well, then he starts beating him with it.
Yo, he beat him with it. And then he also tried to climb up onto the second rope, but the top one gave out on him again.
Oh,
and he went crashing to the mat. It was an all-out brawl. The only downfall of that match was the ending.
Right.
It was just brutality at its finest.
That's crazy.
Yeah, man.
I'll have to go and catch the replay of that. But
no, it was a good show. Again, I'm not familiar with a lot of them. But if you want to watch just some flat-out good pro wrestling, that's a show that I definitely recommend.
And the cool thing is, too, is with that being said, you had the NXT UK. We've got NXT regular, as I call it. We have a lot of good wrestling to watch right now. And I think that's what people want.
Yep.
I think fans of wrestling really want to watch this. We've been begging for this, especially after WrestleMania, which was so good. And we had that 2-month lull of crap.
I think that's the thing about being like wrestling fans. We can go to a show or we can tune into a show with people we've never even seen before.
Right.
But we can immediately understand what's happening, why this is this way, and get behind it and enjoy it. I think that's one of the great things about pro wrestling.
Yeah, for sure. And one of the things I'm enjoying right now is the King of the Ring tournament.
I love tournaments.
The
King of the Ring
tournament is pretty phenomenal right now. We had a 2-week predictions that we did, and all I have is our predictions of the winners. So
how did we fare on that?
We didn't do too badly. I mean, you still had, after the second week, you still had Joe being somewhere in the semifinals.
Yeah.
Which, weirdly, he is.
Yeah. Can we talk about that real fast? That was kind of annoying.
Not really. I mean, I thought that they didn't put together the reasoning of the draw.
All of a sudden, all three of you are going to be in there. It's like, no, this is a one-on-one tournament. Stop.
I didn't mind that. I didn't mind. I don't mind that because it puts a little excitement into the tournament. Not that it needs it.
Yeah.
But it takes it up one more notch.
See, to me, I think,
I didn't like the ref thing where he's like, oh, I got to make a call. I counted to three, but, you know, I just do that because I'm a ref. But now I got to make a call and see what they're going to do about it because they both won.
Yeah, well,
you know,
I lost. I thought it was kind of chaos, to steal a word from you, when he is over there in the corner on his walkie, whatever he's doing.
Right.
I thought that was kind of cool because it's like, well, let's send this over to, like, I don't know if they have a committee of referees or the truck, whatever it is, right?
But
I'm like, oh, that's kind of unique. I haven't seen that before. But then just to have him randomly backstage, oh, I did speak to him. And guess what? Y'all three are fighting next week.
But that's the whole thing is, if you have a committee that's watching every match, you would never have a match go wrong. Like, oh, his leg was on the rope. I didn't see it. He's
instant replay.
You know, it's like, yeah. No, you can't do that. I don't know. To me, I get where, I mean, I think the referee should just call it a draw and then move it to the next week just because they both won or they both lost.
Or you just restart the match.
Either that way. I mean, I'm sure you'd have been happy about that.
Yeah.
I think, though, that Samoa Joe, Ricochet, and Baron Corbin all are people that, you know, we talked about Joe being in this. We talked, unfortunately, about Baron Corbin possibly winning this because
that's looking more and more like that every
that
day.
That seems like it. But you were also a big fan of Ricochet being there. The only pick I had right was Elias would still be in it at this point. He is. Which, I mean, he beat Ali in probably the best wrestling match I've ever seen Elias have.
Yeah.
And he's had a couple of good ones, but, man, Ali put on a show.
Absolutely.
And it was phenomenal. So, I mean, we've had some good matches. I mean, the Ricochet-Samoa Joe match was good over the week. Gable and Andrade.
Surprisingly,
holy
dope.
Crap!
Yeah,
I mean, Chad Gable. I hope this whole Shorty G thing doesn't come to fruition.
Shorty G.
I hope it doesn't happen because I mean he's kind of like the underdog.
Yeah,
and he could be the underdog king or whatever. I mean, King Gable, possibly.
I mean,
people know who he is. He was a tag team champion.
Yeah,
you know, he's gone through some phases.
Yeah.
You know. He lost his partner because he was Kurt Angle's son, and then he left, I guess.
Yeah, we've never heard from him again.
he disappeared. Then he
lost his hair.
Does Angle make his kids disappear? Is that what happens?
I think so.
I don't know. But his hair is gone, then it's come back, then he's creepily watching people in the background. Man, I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know what's going on with him.
So right now we've got, as it stands, Chad Gable, Elias, Baron Corbin, Ricochet, Samoa Joe, all people that obviously we should have thought would be in there, even though I thought, man, Shelton Benjamin would be a cool king. But I was completely wrong on that.
Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't have been a bad idea either.
But still, I mean, who's after you've got five here, how is this going to play out in the next week? You've got another week before.
That's right.
We get to
Clash.
The Clash. So we've got one match in Raw, which is going to be Samoa Joe, Ricochet, and Baron Corbin.
What's going to happen with that?
See, here's the thing. I think I don't want to talk too inside about this. Because Baron Corbin, I think they want him to be king or want him to seem to be like he's going to be king. And I don't think they want to see him lose. So I don't think Ricochet is either going to, I think Baron Corbin is going to win this match. But I think Ricochet is the one that's going to take the pin.
Yeah.
I don't think they want to see, I mean, Samoa Joe gets pinned all the time.
He seems like he does.
And, you know, Ricochet has taken a couple. But if you've got two bad guys beating him up, that just tells me that Baron Corbin's going. And in SmackDown, I think what Chad Gable would get.
Yeah.
I don't think Elias would make it to the front. He doesn't need to.
No, he doesn't need to be king of the
ring. He doesn't need to be king, though. He would look really cool as king.
Yeah, but I think that would just be too many gimmicks going on. With the guitar and
true.
The scepter and the crown. And
King Chad?
I don't know.
King Gable.
No, it's just...
But he doesn't... That's the whole thing, is he doesn't have a persona.
Who doesn't?
Chad Gable doesn't.
Oh, exactly.
He doesn't really have a persona. He could embrace this and be King Gable.
Yeah.
You know? And
I mean, he could.
The shortest king of them all.
Shorty G.
Napoleon Complex, all that stuff. I think that could be fun. And plus, he'd feud with Corbin a couple of times, and I think that would be cool. But I still think Corbin's winning. You had Corbin on this, too. So you actually had two. Technically, you were right. You had two of them going, even though...
Yeah.
One of them, you know, he kind of got lucky because there's three people in a match.
Yeah, but that's bizarre. I don't.
We
like
both
it.
Had. You had both on Raw. Samoa Joe and Baron Corbin. I had Elias and SmackDown. Right. The rest of us, the rest of the time, wrong.
But it's been good matches.
Chad Gable beating Andrade.
Who saw that?
Plus,
coming?
The match was incredible.
It was really good.
SmackDown. I'll tell you what. This week, SmackDown blew away Raw with the matches because the matches were awesome.
They were.
The Raw was, it was Raw. It was. I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't bad. I mean, no. Seeing AJ Styles get smashed by Braun Strowman with a table, very cool.
The OC doing their thing. I loved it.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, let's talk about it. As we get to closer to Clash of Champions. We've got some matches that are going to be coming up here. I think they've got 10 matches so far lined up, probably more coming the way.
And one of these matches is the biggest story in WWE right now.
What? Let's just talk about that.
Can we just address it?
Let's finally talk. I was going to save that to the end, but go ahead and let's talk about it. Firefly Funhouse.
No, we're not talking about that. Though, seeing Evil Vince back was really cool.
Very awesome. Go ahead. What do you want to talk about?
The biggest story to me.
I'm just going to sit back as a fan and watch you talk.
All right, well.
Because... This is going to be interesting of how you feel.
If you
about
follow this.
This
particular woman as closely on social media as I do,
okay.
which in some states could be considered stalking.
Uh-huh.
But in Tennessee, fortunately, it's
You're
not.
You're just loyal.
I'm a loyal, loyal fan.
See what I'm doing there?
Loyal, yeah. So, yeah, nobody knows loyalty like this girl does.
Right.
She's something else. She's the first ever women's Grand Slam champion WWE. Of course, I'm talking about the current SmackDown Women's Champion, Bayley.
Right.
Tell me how excited you were when you saw on Monday Night Raw when she comes down to the ring, steals the chair away from Sasha Banks. She's like, no, what are you doing? No. And then looks over in the camera. You talked about that earlier.
Dude, caught that smile, man.
Caught that smirk so perfectly, and that crowd lit up. And boom, the heel turn that we have been waiting for quite a while finally happened, and it made it even better that she turned to once again side with her best friend, Sasha Banks.
Here's the thing. I think that it's a great angle. I even like it, the step that they took further on SmackDown when she came out and said, I am just a loyal friend.
Yep.
I am a role model for kids these days.
Yep.
I am loyal to my best friend. And nobody is loyal these days. So, you know, that's the deal. You should look up to me and things like that. So she's kind of looking at this like, I'm a blind heel, so to speak. I'm blinded.
I'm doing what's right. You think it's wrong.
This is what I think is right. You guys are weird.
Yeah.
You know? Don't think this way because this is not the way I'm thinking.
Yep. And then,
which kind of really fits with her character.
I think it really does.
Yeah.
Because remember, we talked about, well, is she going to have all black gear now? What, is she going to be like a dark side Bayley? No, she's going to be the same person, but it's going to be like, look, no, I'm just doing the right thing by my friend here. What's wrong with y'all?
I wonder if this changes, though, after Clash of Champions, because I wonder if, is this a, I mean, what do we got her?
I'm calling it right now.
She's taking on Charlotte Flair.
You know what's going to happen?
If she loses, are they going right after the tag team belts?
No, she's not losing. Bayley's hanging onto that title for quite a while, and I'll even one better that.
Okay.
Soon enough, Sasha is going to become the Raw Women's Champion, and then Sasha and Bayley are going to become once again the second time Women's Tag Team Champions, and those two girls will hold all the straps.
Don't think that's going to happen.
Let's go!
No. I think you're completely wrong on this.
That's
wrong.
How I book it.
That's you're not a very good booker.
You know what? I'm a Booker T.
Yeah. No, you're booking with your heart, not your smart.
Charlotte Flair, we coming for you.
Now, I think that this whole thing, though, is really ignited Bayley's career. I think, you know, when we were looking at Clash of Champions 2 weeks ago, Bayley and Charlotte having a match, which, again, these matches come together pretty loosely these days.
Yeah.
The Braun Strowman, look, I'm thrilled Braun Strowman is in a title match.
Yeah.
Thrilled to death because though the guy is not that great of a speaker, he's a beast.
Yep.
He's a monster. I think they build him perfectly.
He ran right through the club.
I thought, yeah. And I mean, dude, he was tag team champs with a kid out of the crowd, Nicholas.
Yeah, it was.
Who I think just graduated grade school.
Maybe.
So, I don't know, maybe seventh grade. But, you know, 2 weeks ago, Charlotte Flair was the shoe-in to win Bayley at Clash of Champions. I mean, it was very predictable. I can see that happening. I still see it happening.
I don't.
I still see it happening. But I think that Bayley has got some real big uptick now because, you know, if you think about SummerSlam, how disappointing was SummerSlam?
You're talking about her match with Ember Moon.
Yes.
It was a good match.
It was okay.
It didn't make any sense was the problem.
Nothing. The buildup, the reason for the match, nothing.
There was no reason for them to fight other than just pure competition basis, right?
And it wasn't even... It was also, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, it wasn't placed in the pay-per-view perfectly either. Because Ember Moon, I mean, really did a good job that match. She was flying all over the place. Bayley was okay too, but...
Bayley was great. Thank you.
I'm only saying Bayley was okay too because I know that gives a rise out of him.
Yeah,
so.
All right, well.
But, I mean, dude, has this been an incredible week?
This has been great.
How have you been able to sleep?
This is everything I've wanted. I've watched every WWE.com exclusive. I've kept up with her Twitter and Instagram and Sasha's as well. And if you saw Bayley's tweets, and I'm going to see if I can't pull these up for you real quick because it was really cool the way that she did this. It was like a picture of her and she had some words to say about it. And then she quote tweeted herself with a new one. Oh, here it is. Because there's no stronger connection. Yeah, where is this, Bayley?
Are they going to go back to the Boston hug connection?
If you don't understand me by now, and that was 2 days ago, it's her holding the title. And then she retweets herself with a new one that says, that I'm afraid you never will. And it's photos of her and Sasha standing over Becky, standing over Charlotte, reigning supreme. So cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm like, I didn't see that coming. And it was right in front of our face on social media. That Bayley, I tell you, man, Bayley.
It was nice to see. It was one of those goosebump moments, though, to see and to hear the events actually unfold. Because, and I almost think it took a little too long because people knew it was coming. But when it finally did...
You didn't know.
No. I mean, when you were looking at her, and she was looking back at her, and looking.
You're like,
she's holding the chair, and it's like, am I going to do it? Or like, she's going to do it.
You didn't know.
Yeah. You didn't think she was going
to... You started to think, maybe.
But I knew Bayley's loyal. She's never going to hurt Sasha.
No, she wouldn't do that to her.
Maybe not yet.
No, loyalty is lost these days. All right? And Bayley's trying to bring that back. I think that's incredible.
I can appreciate your loyalty to Bayley.
Yeah.
I think that the biggest, you know, it was one of the biggest heel turns we've seen in a long time.
It was great.
We almost saw another one, I thought, but it's definitely not going to happen now. I thought we were going to have a Daniel Bryan heel turn.
Yeah.
But now
no,
I think
he already is a heel.
But I mean, for the even worse.
Right.
Like, I thought he was going to double down with Rowan and just be like,
but it's Rowan that is.
But Rowan has become the king of all buttheads.
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan possibly turning face?
It seems like it on SmackDown. It did.
What is up with that?
I don't know. He's always, as soon as you, like the old expression, as soon as you think you have the answers, changing the questions.
But we still have no idea what his career-changing announcement is.
No, and we don't really even know. I mean, was that Rowan's brother?
I don't know who it was, and I don't care who it was because it was weird.
It was like a Craigslist Rowan.
And how did the footage get there when it wasn't there before of Rowan in the background? It was like, did they kind of like put it in there later digitally?
Well, if you remember,
because it wasn't there.
Do you remember the old angle with Triple H and Shawn where Shawn gets attacked in the parking lot and he gets his head smashed through the window of the car?
I think so.
Well, all of a sudden, they actually have footage of it.
Right.
And it's all pixel and square and pixelated and all that stuff. And then it goes, but there's a new technology that can... That was the sell. There's a new technology that can take that and enhance the image. And it was you, you son of a...
Right. I don't remember all of that, but I that does sound like wrestling.
See? Absolutely. And then you're like, oh, how could he? And you're emotionally invested.
Yeah, for sure.
For as lousy as it can be sometimes, it's brilliant at the same time.
Well, and when it comes to this whole angle, I'm confused of how this is going to work out because you've got Rowan and you've got Roland and Roman.
Yep.
And that's going to be hard to say during the same match. I feel for the commentators.
Rowan Reigns.
Yeah, you got Rowan Reigns and Eric.
Eric Roman.
Eric Roman. You know, I think that's, I don't know, that match doesn't interest me.
Yeah, I think the one I was interested in was
Daniel Bryan.
Reigns and Bryan, yeah.
So, and I'm looking at the
what class. If this is all a big ploy? I don't know.
I don't know. I think it's definitely a unique way to get to Roman Reigns against Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Possibly. Everybody wants that. But right now it's listed Roman Reigns and Eric Rowan, which all of a sudden Rowan got his first name back.
Yeah, he did.
He's weird. Oh, it's Eric Rowan. What? Yeah. I like the Rowan the Recycler or whatever.
That's cool.
Yeah. Guess he doesn't recycle anymore.
No, he's a bad man.
Dude, Daniel Bryan was smacking the crap out of him, too.
Dude, those were fierce.
I'm sorry, but smacking somebody in the face, that's not a punch.
No.
But still hurts.
Oh, yeah.
Still hurts.
Especially if you get him like near the ear.
Right. We had a new tag team come about while we took a little bit of a hiatus those last 2 weeks. Rudolph, new tag team. I don't know if they intended to do that, but...
No, but...
Robert Roode or Bob Roode or whatever. What is his name without the mustache?
I don't know.
And Dolph Ziggler, so it's Roode Dolph.
Remember, we were just wondering, well, what's next for Dolph? This has been his best stuff.
And of course, they're not going to get rid of him.
No,
I mean, you can't when he's on a roll.
Yeah.
Keep him going. I think these guys...
This has even made Bobby Roode seem kind of badass now.
Right. So,
I kind of like it.
I think they're in line for... are they champs now already? Or are they in line? Oh, no. They're going for the championships with the Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman next week.
Yeah.
At Clash of Champions, which
is going to be interesting. Because at the end of Raw, they brought up a good point. It was like, look, one of us could just turn on each other and get beat down and then be in bad shape going into our Universal Championship match.
Right.
And then Braun's like, well, if Stone Cold thinks he's going to get involved, he can get these hands.
See, and I don't like it when they talk.
I was like, listen, he'll drop you on that stack of dimes. You call it next, son.
I don't like it when wrestlers talk in their own catchphrases, phrases, not catchphrases, but their own brand, so to speak. Get these hands that's Braun's thing, for
it's
sure.
It's a shtick.
But when Seth Rollins says, I'm going to burn it down, like,
you're like, nah.
Burn it down is kind of like, it's you are. It's not what you say.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That kind of bugs me.
Yeah.
A little bit. But Rudolph, probably the best tag team name in a long time.
Rudolph, the tag team champions.
Possibly. no, but I do like, I like I said before, the Braun being in the title picture, I really like that. Why, I don't know. But AJ's also putting himself in there, which I think is great. For the Universal Championship, that makes that something he hasn't had before.
I'd love to see him as the champion.
Since it's been around Brock Lesnar's waist for most of its existence.
I love Brock.
It's like Lamp. I love Brock.
When is he going to...
I love Bailey. I love
When is he going to pop back up again?
Fox?
Yeah.
Why not?
I think we're going to have to
wait. Why not have him walk in and just pummel somebody? Or
Seth.
Sin Cara finally comes back and then
his
Braun
big grand
comes
reveal.
Out and just breaks
and
in
just
half.
A flip into the ring and he's immediately caught with an F5 out of the ring. Better luck next year, kid.
Let's see here. We had some other things. The Firefly Funhouse was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Vince the Puppet came back. We talked about that. He fed money to him.
And he was happy.
How does it look when, you know, you've got Bray Wyatt... talking about how much money he's made Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
It is weird.
But...
And I didn't even know that he had challenged one of them to a Hell in the Cell match.
It wasn't a challenge. It was just that was the announcement of that challenge.
Oh.
So how dare you want to ask for this or want this?
Oh, okay.
So we're not going to get another Fiend
match. I thought I missed
match.
Something.
Yeah, no, you didn't miss anything.
Okay.
We're not going to get a Fiend match until Hell in a Cell. Is that basically what it is?
I mean, it's going to be worth waiting for, if you ask me.
Sure. And who was it? Was it The Undertaker or Seth Rollins?
Yeah, I think it was the Seth.
Didn't you and I talk about like his next match, what it was going to be? And you brought up Hell in a Cell. Yeah. I think I brought up The Undertaker.
Yeah.
And you brought it up, it would be great in Hell in a Cell. When is Hell in a Cell?
But would it? It's in October. It's next month. It's always been in October, I think. Unless it was just the match itself, not like the actual pay-per-view.
Let's see here. Hell in a Cell is going to be coming up October 6th.
Yeah.
So it's less than a month away, so we don't have to wait a long time for it to happen.
Yeah.
But then on the 31st, we have the Saudi Arabia pay-per-view. Yep. Super Halloween. Showdown 15 or whatever.
Halloween Havoc.
It's not Halloween Havoc.
That's what I'm calling it.
It's, what is it, Super Showdown or?
It's Super Halloween Havoc Showdown.
Down. So, Halloween.
Hey, did you see the new logo for SmackDown on Fox?
I did.
Badass.
It's a logo.
I like it.
It doesn't matter to me what it is. It matters to me once I turn on the TV what's after it.
Yeah.
So
and it's going to be.
It's a logo.
It's going to be this.
I don't. No, it's not going to be. Who's the first person that comes out?
Brock.
No.
Well, Paul Heyman, of course.
First person that comes out on the new SmackDown.
It's going to be, I'm back.
Nope.
And not Eric Bischoff?
No, it's not Eric Bischoff. It's going to be John Cena.
Is it going to be The Rock?
John Cena.
I'd be stoked for that.
John Cena will be the first person out, and that's what it's John Cena or Roman Reigns.
And that's
Reigns.
A nice tattoo of your mother on your back. I love that.
Let's see here. What else happened? We had, the tag team champs got upset this week.
They did.
By Fire and Desire. I thought it was kind of great seeing them lose.
It was kind of cool.
I mean, are they coming up at Clash of Champions? Is the women's, I mean, all the belts should be on the line, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
So we could have, I mean, right now it's not listed as a women's tag team championship match on the card. So obviously there's 10 matches. We're going to get to 11. We have to if you're going to have that in the Clash. But, you know, we've had Kabuki Warriors. We've had Fire and Desire. Who's gonna win these belts? Are they going to keep them? What's going to happen?
Fire and Desire would be cool.
Yeah, it would be.
Sonya Deville is just badass, dude.
Plus, they got a new finisher.
Yeah.
Which that was cool to watch.
I didn't see that coming.
No, I didn't see it either. So it was a lot of fun things going on in wrestling.
Is WWE kicking ass right now?
I think they're almost at the top of their game, almost. And I know a lot of people says, oh, the Attitude Era was... No, it wasn't.
Stop.
Attitude Era was terrible.
It was great.
It was great, but it was terrible.
But take off the rose-colored glasses and look at it for what it actually was. There was a lot of crap in there, too.
Take out the swearing. Take out the rude and nude references.
The puppies.
Take out the puppies. Those were great, though. Take out the puppies. Take out all that stuff. What do you have? What do you have storylines? Some of those storylines were terrifyingly horrible.
You didn't get a lot of wrestling.
No, and you didn't get a lot of... You just got extreme.
But
the good thing is you got long-term extreme. Like, you got long-term stories, and that's what eventually they won. You got
well, you also have to
fantastic
understand,
characters, too.
At that time, wrestling publicly was at its peak. Bigger than it's ever been. Even bigger than the golden age of the 80s of the Rock and Wrestling Connection.
But you take out The Rock and you take out Stone Cold, what do you have on the Attitude Era?
Gosh, you have The Big Show, you have The Undertaker, you have Mankind, you have Triple H, you have Shawn Michaels. I could go
Does
on
Does it
forever.
Matter without those two, though?
You'd have Bret Hart in the Heart Foundation.
Does it matter without those two, though? I mean, do you win the Monday Night Wars Stone Cold and without The Rock?
Having those two at the same time is a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Right.
That'll never happen again.
I mean, you got Braun and you got Seth Rollins. That's pretty good.
No, they're not Stone Cold and The Rock. Relax. No.
You got The Man and you've got Alexa Bliss. That's pretty good.
I love Alexa Bliss.
Easy now. Easy.
All right.
You need to calm down, dude.
I want to do commentary for like even a local show.
Yeah,
how fun would that be? You and I just to sit there with the mics and just call the show.
I'll tell you this, and it's probably not going to be surprising to you. I've done local commentary for a show back over in Cookeville, Tennessee.
Commentary or ring announcing?
No, I was doing commentary.
Okay,
and I was doing the color commentary, so to speak. I was terrible.
Why?
Absolutely terrible. I was nervous. I was really inexperienced. I didn't know any of the wrestlers. I mean, I can actually look at the tape and go, whoa, I was really, really bad because all I did was go, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Right.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy was terrifying.
What a maneuver.
And I didn't know how to play along with the crowd. It was my first of two times
Well, you're not really playing along with the crowd if you're doing commentary.
With the wrestlers. I mean,
right. Yeah.
So, and they had some really good, I mean, local wrestlers. I mean, Mo from Men on a Mission was one of them.
Nice.
And he was there. It was his federation, so to speak. But, you know, it was what it was. I was terrible. Everybody at their first time
was terrible. We're going to make that happen.
Make what happen?
We're going to be commentary on a local Nashville wrestling show.
If they let us.
No, they will.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
We need to get a hold of these guys called the Sobros. Have you seen these guys?
No.
Sobros here in Nashville, they do a lot of wrestling stuff too.
So we, you know what? Maybe the name does kind of sound
familiar. We need to say hi to those guys or something because...
hey guys, what's up?
Maybe they got a show they're doing that we can do a commentator track on it or something.
Even if I get put through a table.
I don't want to be put through a table. I want to be the guy that wields the tennis racket on the outside of the ring. That's what I want to be.
I told you the story where I was a professional wrestling manager.
Yes.
Yeah. And I checked that off the list.
And how long did that last?
It was a one-night deal.
Right?
Yeah, but it was super cool, and I'll never forget it.
You were a manager. You were a backyard wrestler.
And I rapped out to the ring, my guy.
What was the rap? Was it What's Up?
No, it was Dope.
I've never heard of the song Dope.
It was dope.
Oh, is that all you said? Was check me out, I'm dope.
Check him out, he's dope.
Yeah.
Together we are dope.
Put us on a rope.
No. Wait, what?
Anyway.
Soap on a...
No. Right. There wasn't that at all.
It was dope, though.
No, but and I one time got beat up by a whole bunch of little people wrestling as well. So,
that's cool.
I think back in the day they called it...
Micro wrestling.
Yeah,
I've seen those guys.
They tore me up.
They're always
right
drunk.
Right in the middle of the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not very nice.
No.
And they hurt me a lot, so.
And it doesn't take a lot to get them drunk either.
Totally worth it. Dude, we got a big Clash of Champions coming up. We've got interesting things going on with Bayley, obviously.
Oh,
we've got
some
interesting angles happening with Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman, how we've got Robert Roode in there.
Burn it down.
The whole Kofi thing we haven't talked about yet.
No, we haven't.
Randy Orton has destroyed the entire New Day.
Yeah, him
and... He's gone
and
through everybody.
The Revival.
And well, the are they going to be all together next week coming back?
FTRKO.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that what you call the super RKO? How do you say it now?
The FTRKO.
The FTRKO.
Yeah, Fear the Revival, RKO.
Okay, FTR, RKO.
I like it.
So we're going to see that again next week?
Absolutely.
I think so, too.
Dude, that's just such a cool little stable right there.
Yeah, but I don't think Randy is good with stables. I think Randy's all good
by
himself.
Are you nuts?
Evolution was okay.
Have you heard of Evolution?
Evolution was okay.
Have you heard of Legacy?
But Legacy was fun because of who they were. You had, legendary wrestlers, kids, so to speak. You had a legendary wrestling.
Led by who?
Randy Orton. But he was the boss. And you had Cody Rhodes and you had...
Ted DiBiase Jr.
What's his face in there?
There was a fourth one for a little bit, like Fossa or something. He was one of the Samoans.
Oh, I was thinking the B team guys were in that.
No,
but they're not in that.
Curtis Axel should have been.
Should have been, but still, I mean, I thought that was a great faction led by him.
Yeah,
the Revival, because those two guys were young and impressionable. The Revival aren't so young and impressionable anymore. So,
but they're still like relatively new to the WWE audience.
But you really can't lead them.
No, follow Randy. He won't fail you.
No, now when they were with Shane McMahon and they're drinking champagne in the back, and
I love that stuff.
This is great.
But that ended
but that's
so
not Randy
quickly.
Orton. That's not Randy Orton.
They can. They're multifaceted. They'll be fine.
I don't think so. We got Shinsuke, the new Shinsuke Nakamura, who is phenomenal now all of a sudden, which is great. The Miz beat Cesaro this week.
Yep.
Fantastically. That's going to be a great match. Becky Lynch, the man going against Sasha Banks.
The boss.
It's not going to mean a thing. I don't care. The only non-championship match that's going on, well, there's actually two at this point.
Really?
The New Day, The Revival, and you've got Roman Reigns and Eric Rowan. Everything else is a championship match besides whoever wins the King of the Ring.
Yeah.
So,
which they will become the King of the Ring champion.
King Gable.
King Corbin. Ugh.
So if you could predict it today, who's the king?
King Corbin. Yeah.
I'm going to go with King Gable, even though I really love the idea of a King Elias.
I like the idea of King Ricochet.
I think King Ricochet is okay too, but I think Ricochet doesn't need it. Yeah. I mean, when they call you Rick,
your name is
Ricochet.
It's better for a bad guy.
I think everybody does. I mean, look at all the reigning Kings of the Rings. The only good guy was Bret Hart.
Stone Cold.
Stone Cold became a good guy.
Yeah, he wasn't.
He was not a good guy at the time.
He was full on heel, kicking ass.
Right. And what did 316 mean?
You sit there. and you thump your Bible and you say your prayers and it didn't get you anywhere. You talk about your songs, talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says, I just whipped your ass.
He said he meant to say ass.
Yeah.
But he was editing himself.
Exactly. What you need to do is go buy yourself a cheap bottle of Thunderbird and try to dig up some of that courage you had back in your prime. Oh, come on, Steve. Come on.
Easy, easy. What was his
Doc
name?
Hendricks.
Doc Hendricks.
It was Michael Hayes. I know. Doot, doot, doot.
I was so pissed.
I loved it.
So pissed when he comes up and it's like, hey, it's Doc Hendricks.
Oh.
Like, no, it's Michael P.S. Hayes. Everybody knows that.
Bad Street in USA.
Yeah. Good God.
In Atlanta, GA.
Best, one of the best, New Day is Bad Street, USA all over.
Yeah, dude.
One of the best heelish, just a great triplet of
Speaking of great tag
wrestling.
Teams at the Ring of Honor show, you'll never guess who came back to Nashville to wrestle.
I'll never guess.
Yeah.
Is it somebody from Nashville?
I don't know if they're from here.
Okay, because I thought when you said different.
From like Southern wrestling.
Southern wrestling.
Yeah.
Terry Go. No. I know it was Rock and Roll Express.
Rock and roll. Rock and roll. And one of the guys did a suicide dive through the second rope to the outside. And I jumped out of my seat. I couldn't believe it.
You mean between the first and second rope or between the second and third rope?
Through
the second rope.
Yeah, so.
Because when you made a big deal about the second rope, I was like, wait, are you talking about the lower one? Yeah.
Yeah, so his partner comes over who couldn't do anything. I can't remember who was who, but the guy with the blonde hair, he's like 70. That MF-er can still go. And I don't care. I was there watching it with my lady, my buddy
Robert,
my buddy Michael was there, and so his partner sits on the second rope and then gives him the path, and
right.
He just hits the ropes, runs through, suicide dive right to the outside. I was blown away, and Michael was like, "It's not that impressive." He was like, "I was like, he's 70 years old."
Robert Gibson is the darker haired.
Yeah.
And Ricky Morton.
Ricky frickin' Morton. That's right.
And I'll tell you their ages here. Ricky Morton is 62.
And he did a suicide dive to the outside of the ring.
Robert Gibson is 61.
Yeah.
61 and 62. Woo! Those guys, when I first saw the Rock and Roll Express.
Rock and roll.
They had to be in their early 20s.
Yeah.
When I first saw them because it was a long, because when I first started watching, it was like 9, 10 years old. So they it had to have been 40 years ago.
Yeah. It's crazy, right? And they battled the Briscoes.
And they're still.
And those dudes are straight
the Briscoes,
up thugs.
Yes.
Straight up badasses.
Man, I'd love to see those guys in NXT.
Yeah, how cool would that be?
They've
already been trash talking with the Usos back and forth, and I'm sure the New Day as well.
The regular NXT, not NXT UK, but the regular NXT.
Yeah.
Plus, did you get the word on NXT? Vince McMahon is not going to be
involved.
Not going to be involved.
Yeah.
Very much.
We'll see how long that
until
holds.
Until the ratings
holds true.
Have an issue.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. I think that's it, dude.
It's scary because the thing about NXT on USA is the American public. They're not going to know any of these guys.
But that's,
Very small majority of them will that actually subscribe, that actually watch NXT.
Do you think they're going to have like intro packages for all of these guys?
They're
going to
make these guys
the first 2 weeks?
Oh, yeah. It's
going to
be.
You're reintroducing them to the public.
I'm excited. Yeah. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, because they're more underground than they think they are, but. I guarantee those guys do very well for themselves, even just being on the WWE network.
Yeah.
If they look at their paycheck before USA
and
then after USA network, it's going to be something
and I think,
different.
I think on the Cause of Blood, we should cut the podcast.
Oh, did you cut yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, you pulled a hangnail?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, you're going to be out for weeks.
But you know what? I'm not going to tap out. I'm going to pass out from the blood loss.
Well, all right, Sin Cara. We're gonna get out of here for today. Next week, we're gonna do some predictions for not Hell in a Cell. It is.
I mean, we could.
I mean, I'm gonna guess right now that Bray Wyatt wins Hell in a Cell. Just gonna say it, no matter who it is.
I'm gonna guess that Bayley wins.
Okay, Clash of Champions. Next week, we'll do our predictions. We have at least 10, 11, possibly 12 matches to do, which will give us a nice round of. Possibly me winning back this championship belt.
No way.
If I don't, I mean, Clash of Champions. What a great time to
would
cash in that.
The Cash of Champions.
Cash of Champions.
It could be. Well, for Moose, I'm JR. This has been Pro Wrestling Lifers. And we'll talk to you next week.
Just say it.
Rip 'em.